text for the lesson this hour is Romans chapter 12, verse 10. Romans 12, verse 10. Paul says, to be devoted to one another in brotherly love, give preference to one another in honor. The English Standard Version translates it this way, love one another with brotherly affection, outdo one another in showing honor. It's an interesting translation, and I think it captures the idea very well. So we started a few weeks ago for this hour of worship to consider each week one of the many passages that deal with our relationship that we have with one another, and to think about the teachings involved in those statements. I really feel that thinking about this is important. It's important for any congregation, any group of Christians like we are here, because these admonitions that we find are so practical, and they do affect to a large degree the way we deal with one another within the body of Christ. And certainly I feel that we have a group here, a church family, where there is a great deal of brotherly affection. And we demonstrate that as we should. These exhortations, I believe, in this passage are very clearly addressed to the church. One another, in this case, in the context, is not everybody, but it's especially fellow believers in the church. That does not mean that you can't have affection for an unbeliever. And I want to make it very clear. That's the emphasis here. Paul is addressing Christians in Rome, and he says some things that have to do especially with our relationship with one another in the body of Christ. But we can have affection for an unbeliever. It doesn't mean you shouldn't honor unbelievers. We should, if honor is due. 1 Peter 2, verse 17, Peter says, honor all people. Fear God, honor the king. So he includes a wide variety there of people, including those in places of government. We're to honor them. We're to show honor and respect where honor is due. But the focus here is on the church, and these things should especially be true of the church. And so there are three questions I want us to consider just to think about this short verse here. It consists of two statements. And the first question is, what is this affection toward fellow believers? What does it mean to honor one another? And secondly, why is this commanded? Why is it important? And then third, we'll just think about some practical applications. How can we fulfill this admonition to be devoted to one another in brotherly love? When we think about the what question, we think of affection. What is it? What does it mean to be have affection for one another? The King James Version translates it that way: be kindly affectioned for one another. One translation has it: love one another tenderly. I think that it's important to recognize here that there are two terms here, and it's not agape love spoken of in either place. One of them is the word Philadelphia, love of the brethren. The other one is a word that connotes the idea of affection, the feelings of affection and tenderness that we have toward those that we love. Clearly, these are terms of family affection. These are terms of endearment that have to do in a family context. And we think about family love. We think about families that we grew up in, and we had siblings, brothers and sisters. We had our parents, whoever is may have been included, extended family. There's a special affection that we have, that special relationship that we have in our earthly families. There's a sense of long familiarity based on deep bonds. We get to know family members, and we get to know them for a long time, and we get to see all their faults and blemishes as well as the things that we admire in them. In a family, we share one another's joys and tears. There is not a single family I believe, that doesn't have its share of heartache and disappointment and loss. But as a family, what families do is to share one another's joys and tears, and there should be a sense of trust, and there should be a sense of openness there. And so the same is true when we think about fellow believers in the body of Christ. As fellow believers, we are brothers and sisters. We are members of God's family. John says that he gave to all who believe in him the right to be called the children of God. And when we have the right to be children of God, then we also have the blessing of being able to regard one another as brothers and sisters in a spiritual sense. So that's the idea of family affection here as it's applied to the church. So to refer to the church as a church family, I think, is entirely a scriptural concept, isn't it? There is a certain family sense. There's a relationship, a familial bond that we have because of the things that we share in common in our faith. This verse also includes the idea of honor that we saw here. This version that I read says, give preference to one another in honor. And if you prefer one another, you treat one another as more important than self. That's one way to look at it. A lot of the scholars and the translators suggest this idea that's found in the ESV, outdo one another in showing honor. In other words, make the other person's welfare and your desire to honor the other person a priority. That's kind of a tall order, but it's an important way to look at it. So honor means that we treat someone in such a way as worthy of our service, whether it's by our words or our deeds, we honor them. We honor people that we think have done great things. We compliment them. We honor brothers and sisters in our family or other people that we work with. We bestow honor upon people, maybe because of the work that they have done, because of some deed that they've done, because of the behavior that they've exhibited in the service of others. We honor our parents. We honor our siblings. And the list goes on and on. And so, sometimes honor is bestowed even if the recipient is not worthy of it or does not deserve it. We prefer to honor rather than to be honored. We prefer to elevate more than to be elevated. It's the whole principle of others first. Outdo one another in showing honor, it says. So, all that's just kind of get a sense of the fact that the Apostle Paul is using terms here that are usually applied in familial relationships and applying them to the church, the body of Christ. And I think it's helpful for us to think of it that way. Let's think about the why question. Why is it important? Why does it matter? Besides the fact that the Bible tells us well to. That's reason enough, but I think there are reasons for us to think about. One is because it is who we are as Christians. It's part of our identity to honor one another, to love one another as brothers and sisters in the family of God. That's the relationship that we have here. And we need to acknowledge that and respect that fact. There's a certain behavior and a certain conduct and attitude that is fitting for those who have been born into God's family. Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 3, and he's telling Timothy, I want you to know how that people ought to behave themselves, how they ought to conduct themselves in the family of God, household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and support of the truth. There is conduct that's appropriate to the family of God. And I think that applies to it. That's what we're really talking about. So when we love God, as we should, then that's going to demonstrate itself in loving God's children, as we should. That's why it's important. Also, though, because of the benefit that it bestows upon those that we are treating this way. It strengthens those we love and those that we honor, those who are on the receiving end. Honor to whom honor is due. Weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice. Paul goes on to say in this text here, we do these things for one another because of the relationship that we have, because we want to help them. It provides confirmation. If I love you and if I honor you, it confirms that I regard you as a member of God's family. I honor you as my brother and my sister. And that's the way we treat one another. It edifies us. It strengthens our faith when we love one another and honor one another. And then it strengthens the unity of the church. So the song we sang a moment ago that you tried to find the correct number for was all about unity. How sweet, how heavenly is the sight from those that love the Lord. You know, blessed be the tie that binds. It's another song that conveys that idea. Unity is so vitally important. And we enhance that unity and we strengthen that unity by loving, by showing love and honor toward one another as fellow members, fellow heirs of the grace of life, you see. Also because it reflects the glory of Christ. You know that when we love one another, we're simply imitating Jesus Christ in the highest possible way. When we have affection for one another and we give honor for one another, we're doing for them what Christ has done for us. And the Apostle Paul often exhorted Christians in this way, that is to treat one another in the appropriate way, because that's the way God in Christ has treated us. He says, be kind to one another and tender-hearted and forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Ephesians 4, verse 32. Jesus said in John 13, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, so you should also love one another. So Jesus is our example. So when we do this, it's important. To answer the right question is because it reflects the glory of Christ. It shows that we are true followers of Christ, not just in word, but in our actions and our attitude, the way we treat one another. And it's important, one more reason I want to mention here, and that is it demonstrates the love of God to the world. You know, I don't need to remind you that the world is watching. The world sees our example, and if it's a bad example, if there's strife and if there's disharmony and disunion among those who claim to be Christians and claim to be fans of God, it reflects negatively on the Lord. We want to be the salt of the earth. We want to be the light of the world, and part of that is demonstrating love for one another. When we do that, we're showing God to the world, and it's a good example to give to others. But now let's just talk a little bit about practical application of it. What are some practical ways we can answer the question, how do we do this? How do we show that we're devoted to one another with brotherly affection and demonstration of honoring one another? You know, it's not necessarily easy. How can you have brotherly love for a believer that may not always be lovable? I think we can relate to that in our earthly families. Sometimes siblings growing up, we had three boys in our family, three of us brothers, and sometimes my brothers weren't very lovable, and sometimes I wasn't lovable. And we get to arguing, we get to being ugly. Sometimes we even get to fisticuffs. And of course, part of that's being in the pure. But we're not always lovable. And sometimes even when we grow up, we have those problems. How do you do that? How do you have brotherly love for another who is not always lovable? And if it's true in our earthly families, it's also true sometimes in the family of God, because we are weak in the flesh, and sometimes we may say things that we shouldn't have said, or we do things that we shouldn't have done, and we may act in a way that is not appropriate for a child of God. How can you honor a brother who may act dishonorably? And so what's practical application? Well, first of all is this. Remember that your brothers and sisters are children of God. Remember that Jesus Christ died for them. He died for all of us. And He did that because He knew that we were all sinners. He didn't die for us because we were perfect and we never did anything wrong. He died for us because we are sinners, and He wanted to take away our sins. He wanted to have them washed away so that we could live with a clean conscience. I think that we just need to always kind of keep that in our minds and bestow upon one another the same charity and benefit of the doubt, if you will, to recognize, yes, we're going to make mistakes. And we all make them. And we all need to have that kind of charity one toward another. And so we can love a brother that's not always lovable. We can honor a brother who may act dishonorably because we recognize sometimes I make the same kind of mistakes. And it goes both ways. Remember that they're children of God and Christ died for them. Secondly, always try to look for the good. Always try to look for the good. In our Bible class last week, we looked at the passage in Luke where Jesus talked about not judging one another and the problem of the fallacy, really, of trying to see the flaws in another person, a speck in your brother's eye, when you've got something a lot worse protruding from your own eye. That illustration Jesus gave, remember that? And that it's just a very clear reminder to us that, you know, it's easy to see the flaws if that's all we're looking for in the other person. Isn't it better to look for the evidence that they're children of God and that they are recipients of His grace to see the good? I mean, we're gonna recognize the flaws and imperfections. They're certainly there. But they're not the things that we necessarily need to focus on all the time. And I may have used this illustration before, but in the days before they had headlights on cars that would automatically dim when there's approaching vehicle coming, in the old days you had to remember to be courteous and to dim your headlights. And I remember when they had a little button on the floor and you press that button to dim your lights. And then they moved them up here. And we always joke that some people probably had to figure out how they're going to get their foot way up here on the steering column to be able to, that's another joke. But, you know, have you ever gone down the road, though, and you guy's coming and you think his headlights are too bright, so you start flashing? And as soon as you flash, he flashes you back. You say, whoa, I thought his headlights were too bright, and they were not. In fact, mine were already too bright, and I should have been mine. See, we can focus on the other person's fault without realizing that we're at fault. And so that's important. Look for the good. Look for evidence that children of God are recipients of grace. Rejoice with them in it. Just like we do with our own children, we have to have this kind of attitude. The Apostle Peter spoke of this in 1 Peter chapter 3. In verses 8 and 9, he says, to sum up, all of you be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead, for you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. So he's writing at the Christians and saying, you know, you need to learn to be sympathetic and brotherly and kind-hearted and humble, and that will help us look for the good. And also, we do this by remembering that brotherly love is sometimes tough love. Brotherly love sometimes is tough love. And that's also true with our children, with members of our earthly families. Sometimes we have to be ready to admonish one another when admonishment is needed. And there's another lesson in this series where Paul talked about that, be ready to admonish one another, but sometimes that's needed. And we need to be willing to admonish one another when it's needed, and we need to be ready to accept admonishment when we're the ones that need it, and to accept it when it's offered to us. We need to be ready to do that, and that's tough love. And to be able to say to a brother or sister and take them aside in a kind and loving way, just say, you know, I think you really ought to think about this, is a loving thing to do if it's done in the right way. We have to be ready to reprove, rebuke, and exhort, to exercise spiritual discipline and love when it's needed. And so whenever times come where we have to engage in those kinds of activities, we recognize even that should be always be done in the context and in the spirit of love toward one another and as a family. And then finally, I would just say we do this by remembering God's mercy. When Paul starts this section here in Romans, this whole section of the book of Romans, the practical section, he starts it off and puts it in the framework of the mercies of God. He says, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice. And he starts this list. And so when he says to be devoted to one another in brotherly love and to prefer one another in honor, it's all in the context that God has been so merciful toward us. He has shown his grace toward us. And if I remember that it's only by the mercy of God that I have been saved from my sins, then it will be easier for me by the mercy of God to love one another with brotherly affection and give preference to one another in honor. It's just an outgrowth of the mercy of God and to show mercy in the same way God has shown mercy. So that's my lesson for today. I think there's a lot to think about here. And you can think about this verse and I'm sure think about other applications that you can make in our own lives. And I appreciate your very kind attention this morning. So we're going to sing Almost Persuaded for our...